Take it to the Supreme Court and see how that works.
Sermon was preached to me whenever I was in Bible college, and I want to say that it was about year 1997. And a pastor, Tina and them know the pastor. He was a longtime pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Lakeland, Florida. J.B. Buffington was his name. And Brother Buffington was a fire plug, I'm telling you. But boy, he could take a note card and preach 3 hours off of it. But he came in 1 year and preached this message to us as college students. And I remember listening to it, and I took the notes, and I thought, wow, that just tremendous. Am I ready for Christmas? And later on, as Dr. Buffington got older, and before I graduated from college, one day we walked in and there were boxes in the chapel room, and they were boxes that he had his secretarial staff, they made copies of all of his sermons, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them, and all in little booklets, typed up and set in, like, the one booklet this right here comes out of is one just entitled Christmas. And there's probably 25 sermons in there, and some of them you guys have heard, portions of them you've heard. And this is one of those. But I remember taking the notes. I remember thinking, this question, and I like to ask myself this question normally on a regular basis, am I ready for it? Am I ready? Because it's not just about buying presents. It's not just about Santa Claus or Fred the elf or any of those. It's so much more than all of it. And Christmas is really a good time for us to pause and to reflect and then really ask ourselves, am I ready for this? Am I spiritually ready for Christmas? Because this right here is the gateway into 2021. My goodness, I have no idea what to expect in 2021. The way 2020 went, 2021 would be a great year for Jesus to come back. I'm just telling you. And if not, we don't know what all is going to happen. We really don't. This whole thing is going to be absolutely crazy. And what we've got to do as Christians is we've got to be ready. We've got to be spiritually ready for what's going to happen. Because we know that if nothing else, 2020 has taught us this. Life is uncertain. Those things that we've counted on, that we just took for granted for years and most of our lives have been radically changed in the last 8 months, 9 months. And if that can happen in 9 months, imagine what happens in the next year. Am I ready for Christmas? And really, the question is, am I ready to live the rest of my life? Matthew chapter 1, let's read the passage here because I just love this passage. This is a passage that oftentimes we don't read this one as often as we do Luke chapter 2, verse number 18. And I put all the verses in here for you. And if you have this from the last time I preached it, I think I in my notes it says 2017, so that would probably be about right. And apparently it was on a Christmas Eve or right around that date, based on the date that I have here. But am I ready for Christmas? Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. By the way, that's without public charges of adultery. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, he's reminding him of his royal descent, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I don't know about you, but amen to that. I'm glad he came to do that. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, there's an interesting thing right here in this verse. I don't think I've ever seen it before. Look at it, verse 25. It says, knew her not till she had brought forth, notice, her firstborn son. Not theirs, but hers. Just another indication, this child was a product of the Holy Ghost of God. So, am I ready for Christmas? You guys got your notes? You ready? I'm really just going to kind of go through this. I may read a couple of verses. I have no verses in my notes. I have the same thing you guys have. So if we look at one, we'll look at one together. But first of all, I have to have, if I'm going to be ready for Christmas, I'm going to be ready for 2021, I have to have an experience of salvation. I've got to know that I'm saved. Because whenever all the other world is shaken, I've got to know this. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I've been born again. I am a child of God. Jesus came to be our Savior. And the question is, have we received Him? Do I know for sure that I'm saved? It always goes back to that. I've got to know that. Number two, not only do I need to make sure that I'm saved, but notice in verse number 21 of our text, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save, or for he shall save his people from their sins. I need to have my sins confessed, dash, personal purity. Personal purity. You could put on here personal holiness if you want. But I need to be pure before God. I need to have a heart that is clean before God. His word was given to cleanse us. God demands, he wants a purified people. Hold your finger. Well, don't hold your finger here. Just go with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, as the Lord leads, we'll look at a couple of these verses tonight. I don't think I'll keep you very long tonight, but I do want to touch on these things. Titus chapter 2, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus. Titus chapter 2, and we see in verse number 11, Titus 2, verse number 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present life. By the way, that's what God wants, and God will enable the believer to live that kind of life if we'll yield to Him. It's not something that we can't do. It's something we can do if we allow Him to do it through us. Because He tells us right here. But then, as we're living that kind of life, notice verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope. What am I looking for today? I'm looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I hope Jesus comes back soon. I really do. Notice who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and here's the word, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. Now, I've told you before, the word peculiar there does not mean strange or weird. The word peculiar there means exclusive property belonging to a person. So, with that definition in mind, read this. He will purify unto Himself the exclusive property belonging to Him. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm His exclusive property. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. I need to have my sins confessed. I need to have personal purity. I need for my heart to be clean before God if I'm going to be ready for Christmas. Christmas is a time sometimes where things just should start over again. Sometimes family difficulties get straightened out. Sometimes other issues get taken care of. It's just a good time for us to pause and reflect and say, God, am I pure in Your eyes? Not pure in my eyes, but God, am I pure in Your eyes? And then just pause and let Him speak. And here's one of the things that we've got to learn to do. Quit arguing with God. Amen. Whenever God puts His finger on something that He calls sin, listen. Because if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll like, and God says, really? You asked? It's sin. Number three, if I'm going to be ready for Christmas, this kind of goes along with this, but I can't do this next thing until my heart is pure. Others need to be forgiven. They don't have to ask. I just need to forgive them. Learn to be a quick forgiver. Remember the definition of forgiveness? Forgiveness, true biblical forgiveness, means I relinquish any right to bring it up again. Whenever I forgive somebody of something, what I do is I relinquish the right to ever bring that up again. Man, how powerful is that? Can I tell you something? I can't truly forgive people, but God can forgive people through me if I let Him. The Bible tells us that God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. What was Jesus' dying prayer on the cross? Father, what? Forgive them. Forgive them. Forgiveness through His blood. The Bible tells us that whenever we stand and we pray, we need to forgive. Learn to forgive. You say, well, I don't really have a grudge against anybody right now. I don't know. Let's talk about the election. Amen. Yeah. See, look, there are some things that we as Christians, if we're not careful, it'll destroy us. I understand that we need to stand. I understand that we need to do all those things. And we need to fight against the stealing of the election and all of those things. But don't let it ruin your walk with God. Don't let it destroy it. Because if you do, the devil's done exactly what he wants to do. Let's not give the devil the opportunity to get the victory in our lives in any area. Learn to forgive others. There's not a one in this room that somebody hasn't done something wrong to you, either on purpose or by accident. Forgive. Just learn to forgive. You say, I don't know if I can. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Where's Ephesians at? Is my Bible? Yeah, there it is. I was afraid I'd taken it out recently. Ephesians 4. Verse 31 and 32. He says, you let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. By the way, this is not, hey, you should do this. This is, you got to do this. Unforgiveness leads to bitterness. There's very few things that are uglier than a bitter saint of God. It'll ruin our walk. And I know because I've been there. But you forgive one another, and here's how, here's the reason why. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. By the way, when you forgive somebody, you don't have to forgive them and let them come back in your life to do the same thing again. You don't have to be dumb. You have to be wise about it. But forgive. Forgive. One of the ways that people get mad over, they get mad over money. You know, you loan somebody money. Here's the deal. If somebody asks to borrow money, if you can't afford to give it to them, then don't loan it to them. Because if you loan it to them, there's a good chance that you just gave it to them. And if you can't afford to just give it to them, don't. Because it'll ruin a relationship real quick. Money will really harm some relationships. Learn to forgive. Learn to just let that thing go. Next, I don't have numbers. So if I'm going to be ready for Christmas, I need to have some humility in my heart. Humility in my heart. Ephesians, go with me to Philippians. This is the passage that I talked about this morning. I read it this morning. Our great example in this, of course, is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am meek and what? Lowly. I'm humble. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, more righteous than anybody, humble. Peter, after his restoration, writes this in 1 Peter. He says, we're to be clothed with humility. Can you imagine the Peter in the Gospels saying that? I can imagine the Peter in the Gospels chuckling whenever somebody said that. But his life was changed. But here, we see the humility of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And you read through this passage, and you see in verse number 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. I had this in my notes this morning. I didn't have time to get to all that I had this morning. But one of the thoughts I had this morning was this. We may be able to grasp a little bit of the understanding of why Jesus died for us. But I don't think in our human flesh that we can ever understand or grasp God becoming man for us. That I think that's beyond our human comprehension. The humility that took, the humbling that took. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. My pattern, your pattern this Christmas is the humility of Christ. Let that humility be a part of us. When we go shopping, if you've not got all your shopping done, you've only got how many more days? 3 or 4 days, right? I promise you, it's a little bit of a madhouse out there right now. I still got to get Tina something for Christmas. I'm always learning lessons. And many of my lessons I learned the hard way. And this last week was Tina's birthday. I got her a card. I didn't get her a gift. I just got her a card. I thought, you know, she's got everything that she wants, and if she wants something, she can buy it. She's got me. Her life is really good. Tina's pointing up there saying, humility, humility. Amen. I didn't get her a gift. I got her a card, and that was the wrong thing. So my Christmas gift that I had for her, I gave that to her for her birthday. So now I've got to go join the madness one day this week and find something. And I'm going to tell you something that is not out there in the shopping world. Oh, you go before me. That's okay. I know that's the last one. You can go ahead and have that. You're not going to see that out there. There's lunatics out there. They will shoot you over the latest PlayStation or whatever it is. God's people need to be humble. Yeah, amen, that's right. Humility in our heart. Now listen, humility in my heart, the only way it can get there is if I read about the humility of Christ. This is not just humility in my actions, but it is flowing from the inside. You know what this is? The Spirit of the living God guiding. Because I'm not humble in my flesh. I don't have much to be braggadocious about, but I'm still not humble in my flesh, and neither are you. But whenever we submit to the Spirit of God, we can have it. Because that's the next one. Submission in my life. And you can pencil in beside this. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to understand what God's doing. We just have to simply submit. We see this in Mary. We see this in Joseph. And we definitely see this in the life of Christ. How many other of God's servants submitted to things that they didn't understand? Think with me for a moment. Just right off the top of your head, I think of Joseph. Joseph just submitted. We don't read about him kicking and screaming as they're taking him away. The three Hebrew boys, they were getting ready to throw them in the fiery furnace. Guess what? They just submitted. Just trusted. Submission, really, that and trust really go together. Submission and life. And then the next thing is something that we need to have, and that's gratitude. We need to express gratitude. We don't touch on some of the other characters of Christmas, but there are a lot of them. You have the wise men, of course, but then whenever Mary and Joseph took the child Jesus, the baby Jesus, to the temple, and that elderly saint of God, Simeon, recognized who he was, you know what Simeon did? He praised God. You know what he was? He was grateful. You know what he said basically? I'm ready to die now. I've seen the Savior. And then Anna had served all of her adult life there in the temple, prayers and fasting. You know what she said? I praise God. They were completely thankful just for getting a glimpse of Christ. How many times have you had a glimpse of Christ? I've sensed Him. I sensed Him this morning in our service. I sensed Him a couple weeks ago whenever Amber sang that one song. This last week I was reading and I was going through the Christmas story. No one else was around, but I got a glimpse of Christ. One of the things it ought to drive us to is simply say, thank you. Thank you, God. I cannot understand why He came to save my soul, but I need to forever be grateful for it. We live in an ungrateful world today. In fact, that's one of the marks of the last days, right? We need to be different. You want to be different in the world? Be thankful. You'll stand out. Last one. This one right here helps us to see and understand that people are still lost and dying, going to hell. Compassion. God loved the world. Jesus, on several occasions, He wept. You know, a good definition for compassion, you know what it is? Your hurt and my heart. Your hurt and my heart. That's what compassion is. If you hurt, I ought to hurt. I ought to weep with the saints of God. I ought to rejoice with the saints of God. But that's one of the unique things about a church environment. Is we carry and bear one another's burdens. Compassion. Every Christmas season, maybe we need to get along with God and just lift up some of the names of the saints that have a loved one that they're missing this Christmas. Because, you know, they're hurting. And my compassion toward them can help them heal in so many different ways. Maybe I can write them a note or maybe some way to reach out to them. But may we have compassion. Maybe whenever we're out and we see that young mother with two or three little ones and she's struggling with all of that and she's trying to get her items together or maybe they're in the parking space that you want. Maybe you need to have compassion. Instead of blowing your horn twice, just honk once. Just compassion. How can I demonstrate compassion this week? I find this, that if I pray for people, whenever I see them, many times I'll ask how they're doing. But if I'm not praying for them, May God help me to have compassion beginning in my prayer closet. And it'll show up everywhere else in my life. J.B. Buffington did a lot better job than I did. But am I ready for Christmas? Am I ready? If you're lacking in any of these, then here's a great truth. God can help you. I want to be ready for Christmas. Compassion, gratitude, submitted, humility in my heart, forgiving others, confessing my sin, falling back over and over again and thanking God for saving my soul. May I never get over salvation. If I'm thankful for that, so much else will flow out of it. Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for the day that You've given us.